Blessed are
the poor in spirit,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are they that
mourn,
for they shall be comforted.
Blessed
are the meek, for they shall be.
Today, tomorrow, and forever media. Using today's technology to journey through history and bring you the good news from every age.
Hello, this is Carol Monaco of Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media. It's been almost a year since our last episode of Mission Improbable, but we are back at it today with our 13th and final podcast on the first years of the Little Sisters of the Poor in America. I'm on location in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where Father Ernest Liliev has just helped the Little Sisters to establish a home for the elderly. Father is with me today. Located at the convergence of three rivers, Pittsburgh is a center of coal mining and iron and steel production. The Civil War produced a boom economy for Pittsburgh, as a demand for armaments skyrocketed. But the city also abounds with old, worn-out laborers in need of a home and care in their last years. Is that why you envisioned a home for Pittsburgh, Father?
Yes, absolutely. As we have seen in many of the great centers of industry, once the worker is no longer useful to the industrial machine, he is cast aside like refuse. The ordinary laborer who, having nothing but his two arms, came to America in search of adventure and fortune, which escaped him, and having reached old age, is reduced to choosing between government assistance, which he detests, and Christian charity, which adopts him. The elderly immigrant is the same as the native-born American. They are both a shipwreck tossed aside by the winds, for whom the home of the Little Sisters is the only safe port.
When did the sisters arrive here in Pittsburgh?
After resting in Brooklyn for a few days, the sisters took the train and arrived here on April 25th, the Feast of St. Mark. They went immediately to see Bishop Domenic, who gave them his blessing and assured them that he would do whatever he could do to help them get settled. Then they went to the small house that they had offered us for the foundation. After placing the statues of the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph on the mantel and praying to confide this new foundation to their protection, the sisters set to work cleaning. The house was quite dirty, to say the least. The Ursuline sisters were happy to send our little sisters their first meal, which fortified them for their arduous task of preparing the house to welcome the first residents. On May the 3rd, the sisters received two old women and an old man, and we felt the foundation was complete.
But I understand that all has not been a bed of roses for the sisters here.
Ooh, yes, that's right. In the beginning of June, the little community here in Pittsburgh had to face a bitter sacrifice. Sister Bert Joseph, who was only 27 years old, suddenly fell ill with typhoid fever and passed away. It was so rapid and so unexpected that the community was completely unprepared. She had only 2 months of vows. She had barely taken her first steps out of the novitiate, and she was humble and fervent in her desire to serve the poor. When Mother realized the gravity of the situation, She asked Sister if she would like to receive the last rites of the church. Stunned, Sister asked, "Am I that sick?" But then she quickly responded, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want of me." She received the sacraments, made her perpetual vows, and then, after a quiet agony, left this world for the next. But the sister's ordeal was not over. Just a week later, a second member of the community, Sister Eugenie, also contracted typhoid fever. She died on June 9th. Sister had just 18 months of profession. She was 29 years old. She also made her perpetual vows on her deathbed. I wondered how the five remaining sisters would cope with the unimaginable loss. Not knowing the funeral and burial customs of the country, the sisters sought advice and consolation from the bishop. He and his vicar were away, but his priest secretary told them not to worry about anything, that he would take care of all the arrangements. He did so with the most delicate attention. Many people came to the two funerals, and ever since then, the sisters have received numerous letters and visits from the local religious communities, who have shown so much interest in them. I believe that the Lord used this tragedy to make the work of the little sisters known throughout Pittsburgh.
How were the remaining sisters able to go on?
The little Fondation house was not clean, and it was quite stuffy, completely lacking fresh air. Mother General asked me to go to Pittsburgh right away and find a more suitable location for the sisters and their old folk. After several days of searching, I found an ideal property in Allegheny, just outside the city. I signed the contract on June 19th, and they moved into their new home on June 25th. The old people are so happy to have a bit of land where they can go for walks in the garden. The property is so beautiful, they say they feel like they are in another country. And the house is much bigger, so the sisters will be able to receive more residents. To top it all off, I met a wonderful gentleman who assisted me in finding the new property and who has become a regular benefactor. He even bought them a cow.
It sounds like God has been watching out for the little sisters after all.
Oh, yes. He never lets us down.
Father Ernest, I understand that this is the last house in whose founding you will be directly participating. Is that right?
Yes, it is. In just a few days, Mother Assistant and I will be returning to France. Our work in getting the little sisters established in the United States is indeed coming to an end. We've been away from the mother house for nearly 4 years, and a war has been waged while we were away. I'm anxious to return to Brittany and catch up with all that has happened. We have a general chapter coming up in August, and there are more foundations waiting to be made, some in far-off lands, more poor, waiting for the love and care of the little sisters.
How would you sum up your 4 years in America?
The work of the little sisters here has succeeded far beyond what I ever expected. The 13 homes founded in this continent are all owners of the houses they occupy, or of the land on which they will build when necessary. If I were to say what sum I have paid up during these 4 years, it would surpass all belief. Such a success and all it demands, I admit, is overwhelming. I wonder that I haven't been killed, and I must say, I am tired. but I would do it all over again.
And will you be happy just to be on French soil once again?
Within 2 months, God willing, I will be seeing the shore of Brittany again. It seems like a dream and almost madness. My contractors and creditors would have every right to have me arrested. I tell them I'm going away to get some money, and they understand that. I end by abandoning all to God in hope.
Father, we thank you for being so gracious with your time, but even more, for all that you and Mother Assistant have done for the poor of America these last 4 years. 13 houses to care for the needy elderly, and I have a feeling the Little Sisters of the Poor are just getting started.
Oh, yes. If God wills it, we will have a home in each of America's 42 dioceses. On behalf of all the Little Sisters serving here in America, as well as our Superior General and her council, I would like to thank everyone here in the United States who had supported the sisters, and everyone who will support this work and enable the great wave of charity that arrived on these shores on September 13, 1868, to spread from shore to shore.
Father, before you board that ship back to France, we have a little surprise for you. Father Hecker, can you come on out? For those who missed the first episode in our podcast series, Father Isaac Hecker is founder of the Paulist Fathers, a renowned preacher and the Little Sisters' very first benefactor in America. Father Hecker, we're so happy to have you with us today. Tell us, you have followed the progress of the Little Sisters in America these past 4 years. What is it about them that has endeared them to so many Americans? And 150 years from now, what will be their most notable contribution to American life?
That's a tough question, because they have impressed me in so many ways. But I think I can boil it down to two qualities: their poverty and dependence on Providence, and their unwavering zeal for souls. First, poverty. I think these sisters understand that we cannot love Jesus Christ without desiring to express in our own lives the life of our Master, who had nowhere to lay his head. They have a deep desire, spurring one another on to become poor for the sake of Christ, who was rich and became poor for love of them. They depend on that providence that clothes the lilies of the valley and feeds the birds of the air, just as we read in the Gospel. Because they have renounced all possessions and abandoned worldly ambitions, these sisters are able to devote all their energies, and I mean all, to the relief of the poor and the downtrodden. They hold nothing back. I can think of no nobler destiny than to give one's virgin strength to heaven and gentle deeds of love. And yet, that is what these young sisters have done in leaving all behind and crossing the ocean on this great wave of charity. What a magnificent religion we have, which inspires timid young women such as these with the boldness to claim God alone for their spouse and all humanity as the object of their love and untiring devotion. These sisters, so humble in daily tasks, but so noble of soul, will quietly show us that no love will serve that is not eternal and as large as the universe. As our great country is, I believe we Americans are at risk of losing sight of such ideals as we neglect the deeper values of the soul in a race of efficiency, prestige, and wealth. Unless we cling to the nobleness of sacrificial love and sublime dignity of the individual human soul, we risk building our skyscrapers on sand rather than solid foundations. That will be our downfall. So 150 years from now, what will the Little Sisters' most important contribution be to America? I think it will be the witness that every human life is precious, no matter how unattractive or seemingly useless, and that even if we think we are quite autonomous, ultimately we are all connected and sustained by the providence of a loving God.
Is there anything you would like to say to Father Ernest before he takes leave of us?
Dear Father Ernest, know that you have left an indelible mark among us, for you possess that nobleness of soul that I have just described, and you have sown its seeds among us in the person and work of the Little Sisters you have brought to America. I know that you love them as cherished spiritual daughters, and so as you leave, I want to assure you on behalf of the Church in America that we will not allow them to flounder or perish. We will look after your little sisters, even as they look after the poor elderly of our country. We will share the best of ourselves with your dear sisters, so that their work will prosper and continue to expand like a great wave of charity from the Atlantic all the way to the Pacific. So I wish you Godspeed, Father Ernest, and when you arrive once more on the shore of your dear Brittany, may you find your family and friends, the little sisters and the elderly, there to greet you with open arms.
Father, we at Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media also wish you bon voyage.
Thank you so much. May God bless you all, and may God bless America.
Friends, after 13 episodes, this is our last installment of Mission Improbable, at least for now, but we are confident the wave of charity will go on. Please do all you can to support the Little Sisters of the Poor and their mission of hospitality, and don't forget to spend time with the elderly. We at Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media have made these words of Pope Francis our own, and we hope you will too. How I would like a church that challenges the throwaway culture by the overflowing joy of a new embrace between young and old.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, children of the heavenly King.
Today, Tomorrow, and Forever Media, using today's technology to journey through history and bring you the good news from every age.
To get my reward. Oh, I said, blessed are the poor in spirit, children of the heavenly King. When on earth my work is ended, I'm going home. Get my reward.